Here's another family. By the way, Wednesday's lecture's pretty short. Today usually slops over into Wednesday. It's fine. Analytic comparisons predate pairwise comparisons, and they are a more integrated part of ANOVA, and they are particularly important in the integration between ANOVA and multiple regression. The two of those together is what's known as the general linear model. We'll worry about that stuff in the spring. Analytic comparisons are a way of putting into a single model the different questions that we want to ask. There's three different kinds of analytic comparisons, two of which are typically called analytic comparisons, the third of which is a kind of analytic comparison, but typically gets its own name. Sorry. We'll talk more as we go. In a simple analytic comparison, you're doing something that is very much like a pairwise comparison. You're comparing two conditions to each other. The way this works is that we set up a coding system to represent our hypothesis and our comparison. So we have three groups, treatment two, treatment one, and the control. My research hypothesis involves the comparison of treatment one and the control. The first rule is that we assign a zero to any condition not involved in the research hypothesis. The comparison of treatment one and control does not involve treatment two, so that gets a zero. We then assign weights to reflect the comparison of interest, which is treatment one versus control, so one gets a negative number, the other gets a positive number. It does not matter which one's negative and which one's positive. What I recommend you do is set up a system in your head so that you can look at this and decide what your hypothesis was. If I look at this and I coded it, I know that I'm trying to compare these two, and I expect that group has the smaller mean. You don't have to do it that way. I just like doing it that way. And then another hypothesis, we want to compare treatment two and treatment one. So control gets the zero. I expect that treatment two is going to have the smaller mean. All right. How do simple analytics and pairwise comparisons differ? Simple analytics only involve k minus one of the available pairwise comparisons. In other words, they're part of reorganizing the description of the data in that model. And in a model that has three conditions, you have only two degrees of freedom. And so you only have two simple analytics. Now, according to Meatloaf standards, two out of three ain't bad. But if you have four conditions and six pairwise comparisons, you only get three out of six. If you have five conditions and 10 comparisons, you only get four out of 10. And it keeps getting worse. So, Cal, can't I just run another set of these and get all the pairwise comparisons out of a set of them? Just jacking around the numbers. Some say you can. Some say that's apostasy. The reason that I want you to see analytic comparisons is because they are going to be important when we take analysis of variance and put it into and express it as a multiple regression, where we want to get all of our questions into one big model. ANOVA has this layered approach thing where we do the omnibus test, then we look at whatever follow-ups test our research hypothesis. In other analytic traditions, you got to get everything in one spot, and it all runs at once. So those are simple analytics. We take those weights, those W's, and it gets applied to a formula like this. I'm not going to ask you to do this. The only reason I'm showing it to you is people say, well, why do we use 1 and negative 1? Because we're going to square them. And you would much rather square 1s and negative 1s than anything else. This doesn't have to be negative 1 and 1. This can be negative 14.6394 and this positive 16, whatever I said. Okay? But 1s and negative 1s are most common because all of this was developed when we were still doing stuff by hand. And so anything that simplified it became part of the process, whether it was for a mathematical reason or not. In fact, we will later see that a very common procedure is to use negative 0.5 and positive 0.5, because that makes these two different by 1, which is an interesting simplification later. You're not going to be doing this. We will show you how, well, you can see, you can look in the handout, how SPSS does analytic comparisons, and it doesn't involve you sitting around and calculating stuff. Complex analytic comparisons. To compare groups of independent variable conditions, where a group is sometimes one condition and sometimes two or more that are combined. And so, for example, if I wanted to say the control has a higher mean than the average of the treatment conditions, notice big pink letters, the average of, then we're going to set up a set of weights that compares this to the average of those. I expect these will be bigger than that on average, and so I gave them positive weights. Because there's two of them, this gets a negative 2 instead of a negative 1 to reflect the comparison, and the weights add up to 0. Now here's the thing you have to be careful about with complex analytic comparisons. We are statistically asking if the average of these two is different than that. We are not asking if each of these is different than that. We are only asking if the average of these two together is different from that. If we want to know whether each of these is different from that, we need to run a set of simple analytics. This is the most common reason that you don't see complex analytics, is because rarely does that conform to a research hypothesis that we have. Because, tell me if you've heard this before, nearly all research hypothesis tests come down to sets of pairwise comparisons. You don't see complex comparisons because they rarely match research hypotheses that we have. So criticisms of complex analytics: seldom useful because they don't directly test research hypotheses. They require assumptions about comparability. When I put these two treatments together and say that it makes sense to compare their average, I'm sort of assuming that they aren't really interestingly different from each other. Why would you run two or more separate conditions and then collapse them? And this is an example of something I want to have a little bit of a conversation about. One of the complaints that's often lodged against complex analytic comparisons is that they're often misinterpreted, so we shouldn't teach them. We're not going to take that approach. We're going to teach you stuff, going to teach you how to interpret it properly, so you have that tool in case you need it. We're going to see this some other places as we work our way up through more complicated models, where the general advice is as simple as, don't go there. That offends me. I think you're smarter than that. I'm sure you're smarter than that. I got so interested in this that about 20 years ago I started doing a study. I started looking up books where somebody would say, and we will go no farther. And I went to those people and I asked them for their lecture materials. This is before, a lot of this was before the beginning of PowerPoints, but there was handouts and lecture notes and all sorts of stuff. And what I discovered in all but one case was that what they were teaching their kids was richer than what they were putting in their books. Well, what about my kids? I'm glad you're teaching this wisdom to y'alls, but what about mine? And so I flew all over the country because we had a bunch of money for this. A book publisher was paying for most of this. And I said, so why? You know, you take them out to dinner, you put a good piece of steak, couple of scotches, working on the after dinner mints. And finally you get around to, so what the hell? Why is what you're passing around in public different than what you're doing at the house? And they all said the same thing. It's only so much you're willing to put into print without being there to explain it and defend it. There's only so many risks you're willing to take. Okay? And this is just one of those where sometimes people will say, I don't recommend it because sometimes it gets misinterpreted. Don't interpret it wrong. Duh. And we'll see others, and I'll whine about those as we go through them. But my promise to you is we will not sit back from something because it's complicated. If it is a useful technique for you to know, either as a reader of analytics or a doer of analytics, we're going to grunt through it together.